Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, and then we're going to go to Proverbs 23. 2 Corinthians 5, New King James Version, reads, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And we have to keep remembering that we are new creatures in Christ. We're new creatures in Christ. And there really shouldn't be a hint of that old creature because it's passed away. And the Bible says, all things have become new. And I have my what I call my Deacon Ken question. What does all mean? Okay. Is there anything left out of all? Anything? It's inclusive. So that means everything about us is new. Because we receive Christ as our Savior. Proverbs 23, verse 7, Passion Translation, reads, "For as he thinks within himself, so is he." You know, some say, you know, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." But the Passion Translation says, "For as he thinks within himself, so is he. He will grudgingly say, go ahead and eat all you want. But in his heart, he resents the fact that he has to pay for your meal." Now, mind you, this is being related to thinking, being what you think. What you think in your heart, so are you. If there's resentment or whatever in your heart, you're going to be a resentful person. See, what happens is that we seem to spend far too much time thinking within instead of meditating on the Word. And the danger of doing that is in the footnote to that scripture. This is the footnote to that scripture. In the Aramaic and in some Hebrew manuscripts, that verse reads, "Eating with him is like eating with someone with a hair in his throat. His mind is not with you." When you're thinking about some things in your heart that are different than what God has said, your mind is not with him. You're thinking about yourself. There's a hair in your throat. And you're more focused on taking care of the hair so you feel better or feel good than focusing on what God has said or what God is saying. Because God is always saying something. And we want to get to the point where we have no distractions. Practically everybody in this room knows about faith. Knows something about faith. Some may know more than others. But see, the problem is we all have our own ideas as to what faith is and how it's to be used. And I find that sometimes we're a little off. And sometimes, and if we're a little off in our thinking, then we're going to be a little off in our actions. And one of the things that causes us to be a little off is that there's a hair in our throats. There's an adjutant. It's something that's going on that's causing me to spend more time thinking about me and not about what God said to me. It's like, I'll get to that in a minute. You know, but you, I understand. Can you bring me some water? I want to be comfortable. And right now, doing it this way is not comfortable. And so I start to focus on the, if it's a word, uncomfortability. And not on what, is that a word, uncomfortability?
Is it
or my discomfort, thank you. I like the way uncomfortability sounds, but but I need to stop focusing on my discomfort and keep my focus on what God said, and here's why. Look at John 6. I want to share this in the King James and in the Amplified. Verse 63. Since I'm going to share it in the King James, why don't we read it together? Let me know when you're there. Say amen when you're there. John 6:63. Everybody there? Still hear pages. Okay, John 6, verse 63, King James Version, let's read. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. What words are spirit and life? The words that God speaks to you. It says, they are spirit. They are life. So if there are words being spoken to us that are spirit and that are life, shouldn't we be paying attention to those words? And not whether or not those words make us comfortable or feel comfortable. Listen to it in the Amplified Bible. It's the spirit who gives life. He is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit. No benefit whatever. There is no profit in it. The word, the truth that I have been speaking to you are spirit and life. So this is telling us that there are going to be a lot of words that are going to be spoken around us, about us, to us. The only ones that matter, the only ones we should be paying attention to are the words that God spoke. Because those words are spirit and those words are life. So if those words are life and I take time to take those words in, guess what I'm getting? Life. How many of you want life? Oddly enough, that wasn't everybody. How many of you want life? Okay. The words that Jesus speaks to us come straight from the throne. And we have to understand that. And it tells us that. Look at John 28:28, in the Amplified. John 8, verse 28. This is the Amplified classic. I found out that if it's not the classic, they leave things out. So if you're reading the Amplified, make sure you read the classic version. So Jesus added, when you have lifted up, chapter 8, verse 28, so Jesus added, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, you will realize, no, understand that I am he for whom you look, and that, listen to this, I do nothing of myself, of my own accord, or on my own authority. But I say exactly what my Father has taught me. So when we get a word, that word is exactly what God told Jesus to tell us. Exactly. Jesus doesn't, he doesn't mince words. He doesn't add words. Father says it to him. He says it to us. And it's important to understand that. The words that Jesus gives us is from God's mouth to our ears. That's the way we need to see it. It's the God who watch, the same God that watches over his word to perform it, the same God whose word will not return to him void before it accomplishes everything he set it out to accomplish. That same God gave Jesus words to speak to us corporately and individually. And we need to take heed to both. Why would he speak corporately and individually? Because each part has its own special work. I don't need to know what your part is. I need to know what my part is. I need to know the life words that he's speaking to me. I don't need to know the life words he's speaking to you. You need to know that. I need to act on life words that he's spoken to me. I don't need to act on the life words he's spoken to you. I need to act on what he has spoken to me. That's what I need to be thinking about. That's what I need to be meditating on. And I need to stop thinking about it, the hair in my throat. See, when you have a hair in your throat, your mind is telling you you're going to choke to death. You're going to think you can't breathe. You can, but it's going to feel like you can't. Because it's uncomfortable. And you start taking your time trying to do whatever you need to do to clear your throat. That becomes the priority. One of the things that I always think about, we'll get to it in a few moments, but I think about the account of Paul's thorn. And where he said, three times I besought the Lord. That doesn't mean three times he asked. It means three times he was pleading. Take this thing away. He didn't do any ministry work. I've looked in commentaries and, you know, a lot of resources. I'm like, okay, what else did he do during the time he was concerned about this thorn in his flesh? Nothing. Why? He was concerned about what he was going through because what he was going through was uncomfortable. It was just uncomfortable. And he wanted it taken away, and God gave him a word, and I don't want to tell you that now because I just need to say it a little later. But what happened is this, folks, is when you have a hair in your throat, you wind up with a distorted view of our opinion as to what it is or what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. Because you're thinking about what am I comfortable doing? Or you would think, I'm not comfortable. But God knows what he's doing. He said, I have a purpose. I know the plans I have for you. He said they're plans to prosper us and not harm us. They're plans to give us hope, and they're plans to give us a future. And God doesn't change his mind. And if that's what he said, then that's what he means. And we need to feel comfortable knowing and understanding that that's what we're going to get. We're going to see the result of those plans or the fruition of those plans to prosper us and not harm us, to give us our hope and our future, but we're going to have to pay heed to all of the words that were spoken to us. And no matter what comes, we need to hold fast to those words. Because prophetic words don't go away. It's going to happen. I'm at the place, I don't know if I'm at the place or I've gotten to the place. Either way, I'm there. But I really don't go around looking for the manifestation. I try very hard to keep my focus on what I'm supposed to be doing because I realize that if I focus on what I'm supposed to be doing, as I'm in the process of doing, I notice, hey, when did you show up? I mean, very, very basic principle. God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. Next thing God said, Adam, you got a job. Name the animals. And Adam was about naming the animals, and God presented him with his helpmeet. Adam, the Bible doesn't talk about Adam being distracted. Animals are coming by, and he's thinking, why couldn't this be my mate? No, that's not my mate. But he was just doing the work he was assigned to do, and while he was working, while he was following his instructions, God presented him with his mate. And you all know how I look at principles. I look at that principle, and that principle tells me when I'm doing what God told me to do, he'll give me what I need to have, and he'll even give me what I want to have. But the key is for me to not focus on what I want, but focus on what he has said. As a people and as a church, that's what he wants us to do. See, faith wasn't designed to be a workaround from what God's told us. It wasn't. You know, faith was designed for us to do what God said, no matter what comes. That we can stick to it. You know, there was a saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. As I was thinking about this last night, I said, when the going gets tough, the tough stay faithful. Stay faithful to the words that Jesus has spoken to them, period. I don't know how many years ago it was, but I walked into the family room, and I noticed that my wife of 33 years, Deacon Phyllis, she put in what I call it a framed quote. And it was sitting on the windowsill. Now it's on top of the bookcase. I know because I was looking at it last night. It says, faith is not belief without proof, but trust without reservation. Reservation is the setting of limiting conditions. That's what reservations are. You know, you hold back. I'll only put my toe in because I'm not ready to commit to the whole thing because I'm not sure. So I have some reservations. It means doubt or misgiving. When you're in faith, you're trusting with no reservations. That means it doesn't matter what happens. Or what comes, you're going to do what God said, period. And you don't care about the conditions. You don't care about the ramifications. You don't care about any of that. All you care about is God said it. He told me this is what I'm going to do. I'm supposed to do. And guess what? This is what I'm going to do. Period. Folks, when we develop that mindset, you know what the first thing it'll do? It'll let you know that you've disarmed the enemy. I mean, you already have authority over him, but we don't always realize that. So realize that he's been disarmed. Your faith disarms him because you can do what God told you to do. You can always do what God told you to do. The problem comes in when we try and do some things that God has not told us to do. See, what happens, Betty, is when we try and do things that God hasn't told us to do, we wind up doing it in our own strength. And we don't have the strength to deal with it. But when it's what God told us to do, everything we need to get it done is available to us. Everything. We just need to know it so we can act on it. But if there's a hair in your throat, your mindset, your resolve, your focus changes. And it's no longer on the words that were spoken to you that are spirit and are life. Have this scenario in Matthew 2, verse 13 to 21. This is after Jesus was born. And the angel came to his father, Joseph, in a dream and told him, depart to Egypt because the king wants to kill your baby. I have a question. Why didn't Joseph say, I believe my baby is safe? I'm not going anywhere. I'm supposed to uproot everything and move to Egypt? No, I cast that down. God, you said all the things you told me about this child, and you're going to let him be killed? I don't think so. And didn't leave. But the one with the purpose and the plan said, leave. Leave. He didn't say, stay, I'll take care of Herod. He said, no, you take that child and you leave until I take care of Herod. And so Joseph packed up his family and they left. They were operating on the spirit word that was life. If they didn't operate in it, there may not have been life. And now Herod's dead. And I was looking to see the time frames, and I got anywhere from 6 months to 4 years. And I said, forget that. Because no one knows, it's not written for sure, the period of time. Because I was wondering, how long did he have to stay in Egypt? But now he has to pack up his family again and move back to Israel. Well, suppose he had gotten some good things started when he was in Egypt. Now he's got to pack up his family again and go. And you know how it is traveling with a 2 or 3 year old? Folks, I guarantee on the back of that donkey was not a headrest with a Game Boy or something in there to keep Jesus busy on the trip. Okay. But Joseph had a word from God. And he chose to act on the word that he heard. And I imagine it probably was just as hard going back as it was leaving, because leaving, you know someone's out to get you. Going back, you know they're already dead. Because, now think about it. I don't know what road they took from Israel to Egypt. But, you know, it's not hard for me to perceive that the king sending spies and folks along all the known roadways to ambush them along the way. So Joseph could have surmised it's just as dangerous on the road as it is staying here. At least staying here, I can contain the area, you know, and I can do a better job. I can do a better job protecting my family if I just stay here. But the word from God said, leave. And so they had to leave. In Genesis 41, I was telling the folks this during healing class. I finally got it right. It was Joseph and Pharaoh. I was saying, what's the name of that king? It wasn't the king. I was thinking of Daniel, not Joseph. When Pharaoh had the dream, you know, a dream about the cows, and God gave Joseph the interpretation of the dream, and he told him that the 7 fat cows were what? 7 years of plenty. But he didn't say, just wallow in the plenty. Gave him some instructions, store up. Because when the 7 years of plenty are over, they're going to be followed by 7 years of famine. Joseph could have said, taken the position, my God will take care of me. Don't worry about a thing. Don't worry. I can always pray to God, and he'll come through like he's always come through for me. Well, he already came through. He told you 7 years earlier what's coming down the pike and how to get ready for it. But if we want too busy to being comfortable, because we want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. And so what the same God that took care of me these 7 years will take care of me the next 7 years. That's absolutely true, provided you do what he says. Because our actions can take us, let me say it to you this way. Why were the Israelites safe from a destroyer that came to kill the firstborn? Why were they safe? They stayed in the house that was covered with the blood. Those same folks, if they decided to go outside of the house and they were the firstborn, they'd have been gone. But God said, put blood on the doorposts and lintels and stay inside. I'm a chosen Israel. God knows I'm not an Egyptian. I can step outside. Yeah, and you'll get to explain to God face to face why you didn't do what he said. See, protection is protection. We start looking for it to come in a specific way, and we get it, and we get into trouble. Minister Dolores received a word, a couple of words from what she received. God speaks to her. But he told her something in September of 2014, and something in I believe it was April of this year. I'm going to share an excerpt from the one in 2014. So yes, there will be severe change, and yes, it will affect every area of the ministry, including the staff. But don't lose hope. I am with you. Don't lose hope. I am with you, the pastors, and all that will continue to turn to me and heed my voice. I thought that was key. He said, I am with you, the pastors, and all that will continue to turn to me and heed my voice. My instructions of what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. Transition isn't comfortable or easy. There are degrees of revision, elimination, and implementation, but it's absolutely necessary for growth, progress, and stability. Weather this storm. It won't take RLCC out, regardless of the words spoken, meaning words spoken against, or people who walk away. I have spoken and will not forsake or abandon my word nor my people. It requires greater trust and steadfast commitment not to be moved. That means it's easier to be moved than it is to stay steady. Trust me, RLCC will continue to stand, sow, and grow. I've purposed it, and I will cause it to be so. Those are spirit words that are life. They're spirit words spoken in 2014. And, you know, we tend to think that when we hear, if we hear a word from God today, it's for today. That may or may not be the case. What the thing to understand is when God says something, hold on to it until he says something else. But God was telling us, he was giving us news before it happens. Well, the Holy Ghost's job is to show us things to come. So he was letting us know some things were going to happen that were going to be uncomfortable. Now, Pastor Ed and I knew that, and we heard God, and we did most of what God said. What was the key word there? Most of. And some of the things that we had to do were tough. And some of them were extremely difficult. And with some of those extremely difficult things, we had a hair in our throat. And we started making faith confessions. No, we believe God will do thus and so. He already told us what was going to happen. But we believe. We've been raised on faith. We've been taught faith. But faith was not designed for us to go around everything that God said. So we had to get to the place where we had to repent and we had to go about and do everything that God said. Remember I was telling you about Paul's thorn? Was Paul a man of faith? Then why didn't he just believe the thorn away? Why didn't he just cast it away? Why didn't he use his faith? He was absolutely using his faith. His faith was based on the spirit and life word that he received from the Lord. Because when he was complaining to God, God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. Paul stopped thinking about the hair in his throat. That's always, my grace is sufficient. That caused me to, as I was meditating on that, this is what I heard. God's grace allows us to stay in active faith even when our active faith is uncomfortable. Even when it's uncomfortable. Even when doing what God tells us to do is uncomfortable, God's grace allows us to do it anyway. If we receive his grace. I had to receive his grace. In April of this year, God gave us another word through Minister Dolores. He said, what is that seems barren to you? What is it that seems barren to you? What is it that seems that nothing is happening? Would you believe that where there is quiet, you hear my voice? Would you believe that when there's silence and no one else is around, I have your undivided attention? Make the most of this season. It's not barren by my choice, God said. It's not quiet because something is wrong. I'm actually fortifying you. I am actually building you up, and I'm strengthening you. So as you stand in this place of quiet, as you stand in this place of what seems like isolation, as you stand in this place where it seems that nothing is happening at all, trust in my plan for your life. Because as this season comes to an end, and my child, it is so quickly about to end, you are going to step into a new season of productivity, of advancement, and of growth that you would not be able to exist in if I did not have you in the season of quiet now. So take my resources, my word and my spirit, and let me build you up. For as you stand in this season, you will exit it to enter another season to produce greater fruit. That word is spirit, and that word is life. And that word picked up my spirit. And that word energized my life. God will always give us a word in season. The only question is, are we going to act on it? Are we going to connect with it? Is our faith going to align with it, regardless of how uncomfortable it may be? Or are we going to have a hair in our throat? And start thinking about what makes us comfortable and just start focusing on that. Active faith is not believing our way around things that are uncomfortable. Active faith is forging through and obeying the spirit and life words God speaks to us, whether it's comfortable or not, because when you come through, you'll be very comfortable and God will be very pleased. So I have to make myself stop thinking about what I'm comfortable with, what I'm used to, or even what I want. And I have to spend time, even more time, because as things go on, it requires more time, just meditating on what were the words that God spoke. He said to me and Pastor Ed, as the two of you work together, each one letting the other's strengths, each one letting the other's strengths, that's why there's some things that I don't like. But I have to recognize that's not my strength. That's Pastor Ed's strength. So I'll go with what he said because that's where he's strong. There's some things that he doesn't like, but you know, that's my strength. So he has to let it go because that's my strength. The word of God said, as we do that, this ministry will be like the phoenix rising from the ashes. Now, let me tell you what's very comforting to me about that word. God said it will be like the phoenix rising from what? So that means it's not going to look too good. Because for something to rise from the ashes, there has to be ashes. So it's going to look like it ain't working. It's going to look like everything's going to pieces. And the next thing you know, here comes the phoenix right out of the ashes. But that means we have to do some things that are uncomfortable. We have to make some choices that are uncomfortable, as all of us do as believers. You know, it's easier to sin than it is not to sin in a number of cases. It's easier. Why tell the truth when you can tell a lie and not have any hassles? No, you have to stand there and you have to tell the truth, knowing that there are going to be some ramifications for this, but it's the truth and we have to deal with the truth and not concern ourselves. Well, if I say this, then this will happen and that. The only discussion, and it's really not a discussion, but Father, how do I handle this? Do this, 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 and this. Yes, sir. And that's it. And I'm catching myself when I find myself thinking, I don't like that. I do. I catch myself. Say, I like doing your word. That's what I say. I like doing your will. Even if it starts out disingenuous, that's what I'm going to keep saying and let it get into my heart. Because I'm human just like everybody else and things bother me. You know, I allow things to annoy me. I can get feeling some kind of way. You know, I don't like that saying. I just get angry. I mean, I can. But I have to tell myself, I did not receive a spirit and life word to act ugly. I haven't received a spirit and life word to focus on my comfort. I received spirit and life word to make certain choices, to do certain things, to say certain things, and I have to do that whether I like it or not. Because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I'm not going to sit there and eat with you and then feel annoyed because I'm the one that has to pay for it. I'm not going to do that. So you need to catch yourself. When things start happening and you start focusing on them, just go, get rid of the hair in your throat. Or even better, thank you, Lord, let me correct that. Don't even focus on the hair in your throat. if you focus on the spirit and life word that God gave you, he'll take care of the hair. He'll take care of it. And not you. And certainly not me. The plans that God has for this ministry, if we told you what we knew, you wouldn't believe it. And we know it's God because most of it started when Pastor Ed and I, we were on the plane back from a board meeting in Texas. We weren't even sitting next to each other. And I'm sitting there trying to sleep because we're on a little plane and, you know, my legs are cramped, crunched up, so I figured let me go to sleep and I won't even think about it. And I couldn't sleep. And I picked up my iPad and I just started writing these things down. We get back to the airport waiting for a connecting flight, and Pastor Ed said, it was interesting, I couldn't sleep, and God was saying these things to me. And I looked and I started laughing. He said, what? I pulled out my iPad, and it was almost verbatim. What God said to him, he said to me. So we know, I had to stop myself from asking when. God already gave me an answer to when. And it's the same answer that I told you he gave you. In due season, we will reap if we faint not. And I'll tell you something, and then I'm going to quit. Because it stays been staying at 45 minutes. I have to. It's imperative for me to stay focused on every word God said. I have to. Because if I don't, I'll start giving way to other thoughts. And I don't want to do that. I am aware that God is reprogramming what I consider unwinding. My routine, I want to go home. I like watching the Adventures of Superman. You know, I like Hill Street Blues. I like Love It or List It. You know, there's some things I just want to unwind. Yet there's some books that he's saying, I want you to read. And I've stood before you a number of times and said, you know, when I start out reading, I'm more like I use it as a resource tool and I skim through because I get stuck, read one page and I get stuck there. God is saying, stop saying that. And read the entire book. And I would say, Lord, I don't have time. I get home, I need to unwind. He said, you need to do what? You know, Lord, I need to just relax. I'm thinking about this all day long. I need to just relax. You know what he said? Nothing. You know why? There was nothing else to say. He's already given me the words that would result in spirit and life for me. And part of that spirit and life is unwinding. So I didn't dive right into it. I'm kind of easing right into it. Not because I want to ease into it. I want to be effective. And then, you know, I have to push away all the excuses. You know, I don't know which book I should read first. That's nonsense. I need to get the hair out of my throat. And just operate based on the words that were spoken to me that are spirit and that are life. And you need to do the same thing. I'm done with this. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for every word spoken over the years concerning this ministry. Those words are still hovering around. You're still watching over them because all of them haven't been performed. And they're not going to return to you until they accomplish what you sent them out to accomplish. Thank you, Lord, the only thing I can think of, Lord, is thank you for just the trust and the faith and the love that you have for this ministry and for these people. Thank you for their steadfastness. Thank you, Lord, that they stayed amidst all turmoil and, you know, some poor choices on our behalf, and they stayed. They stayed faithful to where you planted them, and we appreciate them, and we appreciate you. And we thank you that you're going to bless them, Lord, because of their faithfulness to you and because of the respect that they have for the word that you spoke to them. We thank you, Lord, for every person that came out today, every person that watched online. We even thank you for the ones that thought about it and didn't act on it. We thank you, Lord, that as they keep thinking about it, those thoughts will turn into action. Thank you that you allow the Holy Ghost to keep tugging on their hearts. Just keep tugging, keep tugging, keep tugging, while we stand here with our arms open and stretched out to all the people, stretched out in love, never in judgment. And we thank you, Lord, for the freedoms that we have because we're totally dependent on you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise, Lord, and may the word that you've spoken to us all today take root in our hearts and bear much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.